Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
A lot of really good stuff from Jeff Sintel at DogNation.com right now. I hope you're checking it all out. In particular, a couple things I want to talk about to start the show here today, and then we'll hear from Jeff Sintel himself coming up in just a couple of moments. There was the big 7-on-7 tournament in the Atlanta area this weekend. It's the Cam Newton-sponsored event, and these kinds of things are always really good because it gives you a chance to see, at least if you're a recruiting reporter like Jeff, it gives you a chance to see a lot of these guys in action. And for those of us who aren't there, not necessarily scouts, these guys will get interviewed, the players, both UGA commits and possible UGA commits. They'll get interviewed, and they'll sort of share some of their thoughts on the recruiting process. And that'll kind of lead to a pretty interesting narrative here, especially for Georgia fans who I think at the moment are really craving some news. Hopefully good news, but any news right now for that 2018 recruiting class would be cherished right now on the part of many Georgia fans. Well, I think I've got at least the potential of some good news, and it comes from, as I said, Jeff Sintel at DogNation.com. Now, what he did was pretty cool. He got a couple of guys of very strong interest to Georgia at one time together and have a conversation on video. Now, if you haven't seen this, you got to check it out. You can click on it at DogNation.com. It's the video of Chris Smith, a current UGA commit, a defensive back from Hapeville Charter in the Atlanta area, interviewing a potential UGA commit, or at least a recruiting target of key interest, Trey Dean, the safety from Dutchtown. And you got to watch the back and forth that Smith and Dean have with each other. It's really pretty fascinating. And I got to tell you, Chris Smith is a terrific interviewer. He's a smart guy and asks really good questions and really probes and gets to the heart of the matter with Trey Dean. But in a portion of that video as well, Dean talking with Smith, Chris Smith also kind of goes on a bit of a solo to describe what it is about the four-star safety from Dutchtown, Trey Dean, who was supposed to announce his commitment a while ago, has now kind of pushed it back to June. Chris Smith talks about what he likes about Trey Dean. Now take a listen to this.
A little insight on trading. Well, obviously, I played with him with a 7-on-7 team. I've seen him ball at every single camp we've been at. He's just a big physical talent. He got that dog in him. He know how to get in your head. If he get in your head, you're over with. You know, he's real strong. He's real physical. He's real tall. Got good ball skills. And he know what he's doing. He know the game. He's smart. Got good grades. Got good ACT, good SAT. So he's a smart player, big player, and it's something we need. All this length and size is something we can use at Georgia.
So once again, that quote comes from a video that you can see at DogNation.com, and obviously you hear why Chris Smith is like so many Georgia fans in that viewing that it would be really nice to add Trey Dean, a safety, into Georgia's 2018 recruiting class. So when Smith had a chance to talk to Dean one-on-one, he kind of pushed him on, hey, what is it you like about Georgia? What are you thinking about the Dogs right now? And Trey Dean kind of revealed some of his thoughts here about Georgia and what is really maybe just a couple weeks ahead of his eventual college announcement. Here's Dean once again.
Well, you know, Georgia's always going to be high on the list. You know, I'm just going to take the necessary visits. You know, I ain't want to make the wrong decision. You know, I got to visit a couple more schools. You know, every school like right there on the same level. I'm just going to see what school going to set itself apart to get me.
Yeah, any timetable? You want to take your time or you want to?
Probably around after the five-star challenge.
After the five-star challenge. So, five-star challenge is June 9th through the 11th.
I mean, listen to Chris Smith there. When Trey Dean is kind of trying to play his cards close to the vest, saying some nice things about Georgia but not revealing too much, he kind of steps in, asks the question about the timetable, how quick would your announcement be, and when Trey Dean gives his answer about the five-star challenge, Chris Smith comes back to clarify with the dates that might be, and so Chris Smith doing a good job of pushing Dean to give Georgia fans some information about his eventual college announcement, and as I said, for Georgia fans, Trey Dean, the guy that you hear talking there, interviewed and videoed at DogNation.com, is certainly a player of key interest for the Georgia Bulldogs, and I'll talk a little more about why in just a moment. Before that, though, let me say this one more thing, though, about Chris Smith, and I'm obviously having a good time talking about his interview skills, but there is something that is a little bit impressive about the way that Smith, a defensive back, is going to work here on video recruiting another potential defensive back. And what it kind of reminds me of is something that his one-time high school teammate, William Poole, a member of Georgia's 2017 class, also did in the midst of his recruitment. You may remember back in January, Jeff Sintel and I teamed up to go to the Touchdown Club of Atlanta awards banquet at the end of the season when awards were being handed out, congratulations were being given for fantastic seasons. And one of the guys that Jeff and I got to interview there that day was William Poole. defensive back from Chris Smith's high school, Capeville Charter, about his recruitment to Georgia and also who he was hoping to bring with him. Now, as a reminder here, listen to Jeff Sintel ask William Poole at the time, back in early January, who he wanted to join him at Georgia, and listen to William Poole rattle off a lot of defensive backs. Take a listen to this.
You got a grocery list, I guess. Who are the guys that you want to see remaining to join the class at Georgia? There's a defensive back. There's other wide receivers and stuff like that. You got your eye on any guys that you hope will join you in Athens?
Definitely. Three top guys, Jermias Williams, Amir Speed, and Latavius Brennan.
That's a lot of DBs, though, man, right?
Oh, yeah.
Could not have been a coincidence that you take your official visit when all those defensive backs are coming into town. Is that just mere luck?
Oh, no, it was not luck. That was planned like that. You know, I meant to make that happen so I can come recruit those guys and, you know, have fun with them.
What we said about this at the time was, at least what I said about it, when William Poole said that, I thought that made Poole kind of stand out from what you typically expect from a lot of high school football recruits, guys who are worried about competition at their position and want to make sure they've got a spot guaranteed before they go anywhere. William Poole, in some respects, took the exact opposite approach. He wanted that defensive back class joining him for a 2017 for Georgia to be as good as it possibly could be, mentioning names like Amir Speed and Latavius Brini, who did join him in Georgia's class. Obviously, Jermias Williams, the one who got away, ended up at South Carolina, and yet it still speaks high of William Poole that he wanted that many good defensive backs to be with him in Georgia's 2017 class. And much the same way about Chris Smith here as well. A recruit that maybe some Georgia fans didn't know all that much about up until a couple of months ago when his interest in Georgia was growing and Georgia's interest in him was growing. But the more and more you find out about him, the more you realize Smith, pretty good player on the field, an incredible leader potentially as well for Georgia's 2018 class. But back to Trey Dean here for a moment. The bottom line for me on the Trey Dean discussion is this. I'm a big believer in the sort of best player available type scenarios. If you like professional sports, you know, in drafts, you have a choice. Do you draft for need? Do you take the best player available? I think best player available is generally the smartest approach. I think that's also true in recruiting as well. But the definition of best player available can be a little different. Sometimes best player available means a guy in your state who's an elite talent who you have an opportunity to sort of reach out and grab. Some guys outside your state, you just don't have the same opportunity to impress. But Georgia does have an opportunity to impress Trey Dean here. And when you listen to what Dean has said about Georgia, it sounds like some of that work is being done. It also sounds like the finish line may not quite be totally in reach yet. It seems like Dean's still dealing with a tough decision. But with Chris Smith working on Dean, maybe pretty soon Georgia fans will get the good news that they want, another four-star addition to this 2018 class. My name's Brandon Adams. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Good to have you with us on Dog Nation Daily today. Back in all our various forms today. On video, 10 a.m., Facebook Live. Those of you watching us right now, we certainly appreciate that. Looking forward to being with you at noon today on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref. So if you're in the Athens area, check us out on the radio. And, of course, in podcast form, iTunes, SoundCloud at dognation.com. Pretty much wherever podcasts are found, you can find Dog Nation Daily. We're getting excited about our Dog Nation invasion to South Bend coming up this September for the big one there. And, of course, one of the sponsors that makes it possible is Larceny Bourbon. Larceny Bourbon is a 92-proof, weeded, small-batch bourbon made from 200 barrels or less that are hand-selected by their master distillers from the finest barrels in the rickhouse. Unlock the smoothness today at LarcenyBourbon.com. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. I'll also tell you there is now an even 150 days away from Georgia, Florida, the world's largest outdoor cocktail party in Jacksonville this October. If you're like us and believe that a good Georgia fan is a Gator hater first and foremost, best way for you to show that, check out shopdognation.com. Get your very own Dog Nation Daily Gator Hater t-shirts. We'll give you free shipping on these at shopdognation.com. Some of you have complained about some of the bigger sizes being sold out. We have restocked all the shelves once again there at shopdognation.com. So check out shopdognation.com. You can get a Gator Hater t-shirt. We'll get Jeff Sintel coming up in just a moment. We'll talk to him about what you just heard from Trey Dean, the fact that he kind of views Georgia as high on his list right now, but maybe that's also a crowded list. And we'll talk about Chris Smith as a potential recruiting Pied Piper type leader for Georgia's 2018 class. We'll do all that with Jeff coming up in just a moment. Before that, though, I want to talk about something that happened over the weekend, and I've got to admit here, I'm a little disappointed about this. One of my favorite things for the college football offseason is when some of these Las Vegas sports books release their games of the year. When you have a chance, you know, many months away from the games being played to look ahead to what Vegas kind of views as the point spread for some of these games. Now, the big sports book that does this later on this summer is the Golden Nugget, and they'll pretty much release every game that matters for the entire college football season. However, getting a head start on the Golden Nugget was the South Point Casino in Las Vegas. This is like the VSiN network. This is the group that, a little context here, that Brent Musburger has gone to work for. You may have heard when he left ESPN, the SEC network, he was going out to Las Vegas to work for Sportsbook. This is the sportsbook that he's working for. And so the South Point has released some point spreads for some college football games. And the reason why I'm a little disappointed here is they actually didn't release as many Georgia games as I hoped that they would. Now, the week one game against Appalachian State had been out for a little while. Georgia right now, according to the South Point, an 11-point favorite over the Mountaineers, but that had been out for a little while. But they just over the weekend also released some of the other games for the season, and you only get three point spreads for Georgia here for the 2017 season. But the good news, I guess, is that Georgia is a favorite in all three of these games. Georgia, a 3-point favorite over Florida. Georgia is a 14-point favorite in a home game versus South Carolina. And Georgia is a 5-point favorite at Georgia Tech. And I want to talk about these three games here for a moment and see if we can glean anything kind of from what we learned from these games thus far. Let me start with the Georgia-Florida game. You know, I do think it's somewhat significant that Georgia is a 3-point favorite in this game. Now, listen, I'm not a big bettor. You know, I like to follow the betting lines, mostly as a prediction for who's going to win and lose games. I'm, you know, the odds of me putting any action down on this is probably not all that great. And yet, nonetheless, I do think as college football fans, we can kind of glean something from the opinion of Las Vegas here on that. And the fact that Georgia, a 3-point favorite over Florida, is one of those instances where you might be able to take a little something from this, because we know that 3 is kind of a key number, right? I mean, you know, how many games have you seen end on a field goal? Teams win by 3 points very often. The two real key numbers in terms of common margins of victory, 3 and 7. So the fact that Georgia is a 3-point favorite over Florida here, while that's not a big favorite necessarily, it is something of a significant favorite. There's not a huge difference between being a 1, 1.5, and a 2-point favorite, but there is some difference in being a 3-point favorite. Vegas has to have a measure of confidence in Georgia to make them a 3-point favorite as opposed to a margin a little less than that. So from that standpoint, maybe that's potentially good news for Georgia. What should scare you a little bit, though, is that Vegas also has Georgia as a 14-point favorite over South Carolina. Now, think about this for a moment. Think about the thought process in this. Week one at home, Georgia just an 11-point favorite over Appalachian State, and yet a bigger favorite than that over South Carolina in the month of November. I got to tell you, that doesn't quite compute with me. Now, I know that South Carolina is not a perfect team, and I know that Appalachian State almost beat Tennessee last season. You know, they certainly kept it close with the Vols all night long in the game a year ago. And yet, we're still talking about a South Carolina team that brings in Jake Bentley, one of the top quarterbacks in the country. We're still talking about a coach in Will Muschamp who, through recruiting, has taken big-time strides to improve that defense. Jamias Williams, that we talked about on the show a moment ago, maybe Williams is an impact freshman for the Gamecocks this season. The idea that Georgia is supposed to be a 14-point favorite in that game right now, that seems to be a little rich for me, and maybe a potential danger there that Las Vegas may be underrating South Carolina just a little bit. As far as Georgia being a 5-point favorite over Georgia Tech, the truth is that doesn't do much for me one way or another. I don't expect Georgia Tech to be that good this year. I don't think Georgia really should really ever lose to Georgia Tech. Obviously, it's going to happen every now and then, but it's not the kind of thing that should ever happen with regularity. Georgia's won every game in Atlanta since 1999. Dogs, of course, go back to Bobby Dodd Stadium this year. I assume the game in Atlanta will go like most of them have gone, with probably a pretty convincing Georgia victory. So my guess is Georgia's a 5-point favorite. Maybe it should be a little higher than that. Was a little disappointed, though, you didn't get spreads for Georgia in the game against Notre Dame. I think that's a really curious point spread. Maybe a difficult game to handicap, but would not surprise me to see Notre Dame get some respect from Vegas in the game against Georgia when it's played in September. Also, curious about how that Tennessee point spread works out. That's one of those that, you know, relatively tough road game for Georgia. How good is Tennessee? Not totally sure. Vegas could do a lot by telling us that on that. Also, you didn't get the Georgia-Auburn point spread, which would have also kind of been an interesting one to see. That is the one game on the schedule where I think Georgia has a chance to be somewhat of a significant underdog. If Georgia's a three-point favorite versus Florida, I think Georgia will be at least a three-point underdog to Auburn. Could maybe even be more than that. So we'll kind of see how that plays out. So that's from the South Point Casino. Georgia, a favorite in all three of the games that it puts out, and we'll see how those games actually do take shape once we see them on the field. Thanks for being with us here on Dog Nation Daily. Hope you enjoy Jeff Sintow right now.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
Jeff, we started the show today. By the way, I'll welcome in Jeff Sintel here. Let me at least get that announcement out of the way. Jeff Sintel joins us here on Dog Nation Daily. And, Jeff, when we started the show today, I talked about what I thought was some great stuff from you over the weekend at DogNation.com. A lot of big-name recruits in the Atlanta area for the big Cam Newton 7-on-7 tournament. And I really enjoyed the video that you posted of Chris Smith and Trey Dean kind of going one-on-one as Smith really grilled him on what his college future might be. And I got to tell you, I'm assuming you were probably as impressed as I was with Chris Smith's interview abilities, right?
Well, I mean, I guess he can cover wide receivers and 4 and 5 stars. I guess he showed that he can cover someone in an interview capacity as well, man. Maybe there might be an internship or a down-the-road career with Christopher Smith in the future with Dog Nation.
Yeah, that could very well be. And, you know, along those lines with Smith, I mean, he really does. I don't want to make too much out of one interview, but for people who've kind of only recently gotten acquainted with Smith, you know, after his announcement of committing to UGA, he really does kind of have some of the chops of sort of a class leader here a little bit. And in some ways, he reminds me a lot of his former high school teammate, William Poole, and a guy that seems to want what's best for Georgia, even if what's best for Georgia includes more defensive backs, right?
That's true. I mean, he's on that FSS team, which is a really good unit that kind of stresses more than sports on the 7-on-7 circuit. And the FSS team has usually been a team that if you know, maybe some of the alpha, the very best players don't go over to the Cam Newton squad over the last couple of years. They've had a lot of future Georgia Bulldogs like Trey Blunt. Jeremiah Holloman was on that team for a time. Richard LeCount was on that team. Breon Dixon was on that team. Jamias Williams was on that team. Mecole Hardman was on that team. So there's a lot of guys that have eventually developed Georgia ties that play together. And, you know, Smith is interesting because he plays with Trey Dean. He also plays with Marquez Ezard, the receiver target on that FSS team. And, you know, he's very quietly just saying, you know, go Dogs in those guys' ears whenever he can. And the class as it constitutes itself right now is at the point where it needs, I guess, some behind-the-scenes leadership. Georgia only has two commitments for 2018, as I think most of the fan base pretty well knows. And those guys have only been committed for about 5 weeks total. So this is the point of the year where, you know, the more Chris Smiths that are out there campaigning to add to the class and basically just to tell them maybe what they see at Georgia as a commit and what it's like and how things have gone for them, where maybe an impression turned into reality. I think maybe more guys need to hear that if the class is going to build. And, you know, one thing I'll say on that subject is I think maybe the long-term scenario is this class is for 2018 at least will be a very intriguing class. I think, you know, behind the scenes, the staff is working to flip a lot of targets that are committed elsewhere. And I think lots of times the fan base will sit there and go, well, this guy didn't go here, so let's try something else with, you know, deeper down the prospect chain. And I think maybe some of the more significant storylines might be Georgia going after some players that are already committed to other schools.
Yeah, that's interesting. Now, one of the guys that you had a chance to catch up with over the weekend, we saw him at DogNation.com on the video. I talked about him a little bit at the start of our show. That's Trey Dean, who, you know, is still kind of holding tight with, you know, an announcement potentially coming at June. Obviously, based on the clip that we heard from him a little earlier, the video we've seen at DogNation.com, seems like he's still high on Georgia, but not at the expense of other schools necessarily. I mean, how would you rate where things stand between Dean and Georgia at the moment?
I think pretty good. I think Dean just has a hard time distinguishing things. He reaches, basically when he talks, he's done his interviews for the last 3 or 4 months. What he does is or at least the last 2 or 3 months, is what he does is he says, I'm not quite ready yet, but I'm not quite that far away. And he ends up maybe backpedaling and pushing his decision back out another month. I think he's went from like, you know, April to May and May to June of late. The latest determination from Dean is he won't make a decision until after the Rivals five-star challenge in Indianapolis, and that takes place in mid-June. So I would think at the earliest that Dean, you know, might not make a decision until late June, something around that kind of sphere at this current time.
Thought you got some real honest talk from Rashad Chaney, who's obviously one of the big members of Georgia's 2019 class, and yet, you know, Chaney's been, you know, kind of looking around here a little bit. Interest with Alabama, interest with South Carolina. It seems like, based on what you've written, big-time interest right now from South Carolina towards Chaney, and maybe with Chaney back towards South Carolina. Thought his assessment of the situation was pretty honest. Obviously still likes Georgia a lot, but this is not a recruitment that's done by any stretch of the imagination, is it?
Yeah, I think it's really weird because his is just an interesting recruitment because, you know, Chaney was a guy that doesn't come from a school that has a lot of exposure to SEC coaches and SEC recruiting. That's Washington High in Atlanta. And so, you know, he's not even a guy that did all the camp circuits or anything else like that. So he's not as maybe as connected as other guys are to other prospects that are in the kind of that are just kind of seen as the industry's elite, especially in the state of Georgia. So Chaney's a guy who clearly loves Georgia. I think he told me he got misty-eyed when the offer came. He committed to Georgia. He thinks that he said he still gets chills when he dreams about and thinks about running out on the field in that red and black. But there is also some great recruiting being done by Lance Thompson of South Carolina. He's the defensive line coach there. Lance Thompson has been one of the SEC's best recruiters for at least the last 10 to 12 years, at least. And he's got a good message for him. He said that only Scott and Thompson are the guys that he can relate to. They basically tell him, go everywhere, visit everywhere, see everywhere. I want you to see everything because, young man, you only get to make this decision once. And the last thing I'd want you to do is not to see everything you had to offer and come play for us. Trey Scott has told him that. Lance Thompson has told him that. So he really feels South Carolina is recruiting him hard and recruiting him well. And basically, I know a lot of these 2019s are up on the board, but the simplest way to say that is Chaney has conveyed to me that he feels the school that recruits him the hardest and the best over the next 2 years will be the school he eventually signs with.
I know you don't like when I ask stuff like this, but, I mean, do you think there's any reason to be concerned about the momentum with the 2019 class when you think about the way that some of these guys are, I'm talking about throughout the state, are kind of trending in the direction of Florida State, maybe South Carolina, the work that it's doing on Chaney? I mean, is the same wait-and-see approach the 2018 kids are taking? Is there a chance that the talent-rich 2019 class is taking some of that same approach towards Georgia right now?
I don't think so. I think the 2019 class is maybe perhaps my best argument when people kind of point fingers at the 2018 class and they say, what's going wrong? Is there some inside story we don't know about? I think that's one of the theories I read on our message boards, Brandon, about, you know, like, is there something going on behind the scenes that caused all these prospects to look elsewhere? And I point to the 2019 class as an example of, you know, the staff didn't forget how to recruit between, I don't know, January of 2017 and May of 2017, or even April of 2017. If you look at that 2019 class, it already has 2 5-stars in that class. It's got great momentum. I still think Georgia will clean up with probably perhaps 10 of the state's top 20 players again in 2019 at the very least. And I just think that that's just a different mindset. I think a lot of the prospects in 2019 see some separation between the 2018 and the 2018 and the 2017 classes, and they realize they'll have a great opportunity to play at Georgia, and that depth chart, especially in the junior and senior classes, will thin out a little bit. Because really, Brandon, a lot of these players are really looking for is a good degree fit, a good relationship fit with the coaches, and the ability to come in and play right away. Georgia just needs to add that missing link compared to all the other schools they recruit against, which is where these players know, A, they'll win about 10 or 11 games and be part of a program that's thriving with big wins on Saturdays. They'll go play in a big bowl game. And they'll also see the players of that program move on into the NFL. I had a prospect recently bring up the fact to me that one of the things that Georgia that he hears about Georgia from other peer recruits is that recent NFL draft, how no Bulldogs were picked outside of Isaiah McKenzie. I do think that most recruits realize that Chubb and Michelle and Lorenzo Carter would likely have been, you know, top three, four-round draft picks had they have went early into the draft. But at the same time, that's a stat that's being used against Georgia in recruiting as well.
Yeah, you know, I think about what Brenton Cox said, Jeff. I mean, you know, Cox from Stockbridge, who chooses Ohio State over Georgia, I mean, he absolutely flat-out believed. Now, whether it's true or not is a different debate, but Cox absolutely believed that he thought that Ohio State was a school that could get him into the first NFL draft more successfully and more likely than Georgia was going to be able to. And, you know him, you know, certainly much better than I do. You know his story much better than I do. But I would think that for Brenton Cox, that was the ultimate decision-maker, right?
He just felt he could be developed better at Ohio State. You know, we have people on our message boards that tell us all the time, well, that they kind of poke holes in that theory. They said, look how many guys Georgia has in the NFL. But it doesn't matter what the stats think. It was the argument and the pitch and the belief that was sold to Brenton Cox, where he believed that he was much more likely to be a top five pick in the NFL draft at Ohio State rather than at Georgia. So it doesn't really matter what's true or what's not true or what the numbers say. It's where Brenton Cox was led to believe he would be the most successful, and that decision for him came down to Ohio State.
Couple of things I want to get to here before we wrap up with you. I don't think we've talked about Caleb Tanner putting Georgia in his top five. Now, he's from Miller Grove, a place we normally think of as a basketball power, but in this case producing a pretty good football player. What do you make about the relationship between Tanner and Georgia, and what kind of player is Caleb Tanner?
I like Tanner a lot. He's a worker. He's a grinder. He's a guy that, to me, maybe one of the most impressive things he told me is he said, A, his academic trophies are probably the best trophies he has in his collection at the house. He's been named a three-time leadership award winner at his high school, which is saying quite a lot because Miller Grove had a lot of prospects at one time. Guys like Brenton Cox, for example, that moved on to other schools during a recent coaching change. And yet Caleb Tanner stayed there. And the other thing about Tanner, you know, he has an all-SEC top five. But to me, he's a guy that recognizes the in-state school. He's been to Georgia a ton. I think he still needs to see LSU. He still needs to see Tennessee. He also still needs to see Florida. He feels very comfortable with what he's been offered and the opportunities there for him at Georgia and Auburn. And that's a case where I think that young man, I think the University of Georgia really has a pretty good shot there with Caleb Tanner. And he's the type of guy, I remember walking around his field, we were kind of talking as we were doing our interview, and you know, he's a young man that doesn't point to excuses or anything else like that. You'll like this story, Brandon. Their playing field, their practice field somehow is an attractive morning visit or rest stop, I'll say, for a flock of about 30 or 40 Canadian geese that just seem to fly over and pepper and, you know, mark their territory, so to speak. So
that's not good.
A lot of the times, those players at Miller Grove, when you get knocked to the dirt on the practice field at Miller Grove, that's really not where you want to be. So that wants to make sure you maintain your leverage, maintain your feet, and make sure that you keep your feet on the ground, because there might be some interesting laundry up ahead should you, fall in certain spots on the field at Miller Grove High.
Yeah, that's pretty good motivation right there. I think that's a pretty good coaching point right there. Over the weekend, it seems like one of the big stories was the continued development of quarterback Justin Fields. We had some people in the comment section here on our Dog Nation Daily Live broadcast on Facebook Live talking about this well, including Derek Lucas, that it seems like Fields once again really showed out. And I know you've been impressed with Fields for a while here, but it seems like, you know, for a guy who's kind of already considered to be, you know, a five-star prospect, he may even be climbing higher than that, right?
Yeah, I think he's one of the nation's elite. I've even tweeted out, because the thing with Fields, if you follow his narrative over the last maybe 4 or 5 weeks, if he hadn't had his wheels, he's been limited. He's been playing a lot of baseball. He's been going through some ankle sprains and everything else like that, where he doesn't really have his speed. So really all you've been able to see is the howitzer on his right, the howitzer he has for a right arm. He's kind of been like, you know, forgive me, I have my kids in my mind right now, but you know, somebody's hit him with a freeze ray in the pocket. He can't move around like that.
That's a good analogy, Jeff. No, that's a very descriptive analogy. Absolutely.
like he's like, you know, Groove's freeze ray hit him, so he can't show off that 4.51 speed in the 40 at 221 pounds. So really he's had to showcase his worth as a pro style, maybe pocket passer only. And the guy really gets it done. He throws an incredible ball. He puts it where it needs to be. The touch and everything is there. He's a really sharp, smart kid with almost a 4.0 GPA, and I believe he has a 29 or a 30 on his ACT. I think Justin Fields is a program changer. And I think I noted over the weekend while I was watching him work that I think any conversation of the best quarterbacks in the state of Georgia over the last 10 years, it better include the name Justin Fields, because I think that young man is that good at delivering the football and doing everything that's required of him out of the quarterback position.
Let me squeeze in one final question, if you don't mind, Jeff. And I want to go back to something that was on Friday's show. I read from Athlon Sports, their SEC preview. An anonymous coach suggested that maybe Georgia quarterback Jacob Eason doesn't like football, at least is not as much as maybe some people do. He questioned his love for the game, his desire to compete at the highest level, and that was maybe a suggestion for why Eason's play as a freshman was somewhat inconsistent. Do you think that's a fair criticism, that maybe Eason's love of the game is maybe not what it needs to be if he's going to be a future first-round draft pick and the kind of guy that can lead Georgia to great team success?
Well, it's a different definition, Brandon. I mean, you know, the NCAA allows coaches to work with their players on campus 20 hours during the week. They get 20 hours. And yet, I think even most players in major college football spend at least another 5, 10, 15 hours on their own, whether it's rehab, film study, or whatever, to try and polish up their game. But the thing with coaches is there's a difference between the very best, and I think the best way to describe that is the way maybe a Hudson Mason and a Joe Cox and an Aaron Murray were at Georgia, in terms of those guys just went into the film room and basically hooked up an IV, and basically just took in like a machine, like Neo in the Matrix or something like that. They took in as much film as they could. They were almost addicted to football, and addicted to the preparation that was required for getting better. And I think that's what coaches want to see out of their franchise quarterbacks, their program-defining face of the program-type quarterbacks. And I think a lot of the comments there is that Eason's just not at that level yet, that he hasn't shown that much affinity towards the preparation and the study to outwork everybody that's currently playing quarterback, not only in the program but also his peers in college football. Because I think most people feel if Jacob Eason's preparation and just the things he does on the finer things in the game, the little things in the game that measure so much for quarterbacks, that mean so much for quarterbacks, if his ability there ever kind of meshed in or intersected with his incredible physical gifts, his stature and his arm talent, then that's when the whole world, those early proclamations that he would be a top five NFL draft pick and a top one NFL draft pick. I think that's when Georgia fans will probably see the very best out of Jacob Eason. And the indications that I hear and that I've gotten is that the young man has made strides in that area.
Well, that's great to hear, Jeff. That's good news for all the Georgia fans listening right now. We appreciate the work that you did over the weekend. Really good stuff, and I know there'll be a lot more coming over the course of the next few days about how this 2018 class for Georgia might take shape, and a lot of that coming from this big 7-on-7 tournament in Atlanta on Saturday, or I should say over the weekend. Really interesting stuff there. Jeff, thanks so much for your time here today on Dog Nation Daily, and we'll look forward to speaking to you soon.
You got it, Brandon. Hey, hope everybody had a great Memorial Day.
Thanks a lot, Jeff. We appreciate that.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Really good stuff there from Jeff Sintel. Always like having him here on Dog Nation Daily. Of course, it's great to have you with us as well. We'll do our SEC Through here, and as we do, let me remind you that if you like Dog Nation Daily, especially if you like watching it here with us on video on Facebook Live, you will love seeing us on SEC Country Live. We do it every Monday through Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern time on the SEC Country Facebook page. Hope you'll check that out. Myself, former Alabama All-American Mike Johnson, we'll talk about everything going on in the SEC, a lot of that involving Georgia. We'll do that 3 p.m. today and every Monday through Thursday on the SEC Country Facebook page. So earlier in the show, I talked about some of the point spreads as it relates to Georgia at the South Point Casino, kind of a look ahead to 2017. Want to give you some of the other SEC point spreads now, and you know, much like with Georgia, you may only get part of the story here, but you still can pull some of the information based on kind of what the South Point gives you. How about the fact that Clemson, a 7-point favorite over Auburn, according to the South Point, and that game is in Clemson, so you're going to give a few points to the Tigers there for being the home team. But for an Auburn team that expects to be better this season, it seems like Vegas is giving a little bit of respect right there. Defending national champion in its own stadium, second week of the season. Auburn, a team that lost, what, 5 times last year? And yet just a 7-point underdog there on the road. I think that gives you an impression that Las Vegas thinks Auburn is going to be really just as good as a lot of folks around the SEC media world kind of think as well. If you're looking for a candidate for worst SEC team, I think you have to include Arkansas in that situation. Texas Christian at Arkansas, a 6-point favorite. Now, TCU's no great team, and the fact that they are a big favorite over the Hogs here leads you to believe that Vegas does not think Arkansas is going to be very good. Florida, 5-point favorite over Tennessee. That's a home game for the Gators. And, you know, when you think about this point spread like many of the other point spreads for Florida in the upcoming season, I think you have to wonder how much are these numbers going to be affected and changed if Malik Zaire does become the Florida quarterback. Now, this week at the SEC spring meetings, that's one of the big stories that's going to really kind of take shape, and we're going to find out if the transfer rule is going to be changed and enable Zaire to become a member of the Florida Gators here for 2017. He's a better quarterback almost for sure than Felipe Franks would be. Georgia currently listed as a 3-point favorite. Is that line impacted by Zaire? Well, I believe it probably should be, but I'm not crunching the numbers the way the Las Vegas is. I'll say the same thing about the game against Tennessee. Florida 5-point favorite without Malik Zaire. I would assume that they're a slightly bigger favorite than that with Zaire. I think Zaire is an upgrade over what Franks potentially brings to the table. Talked about Arkansas being a big dog to TCU. Also a huge underdog in the neutral site game against Texas A&M. Aggies a 10-point favorite there. Aggies, though, a little more than a 10-point underdog in a home game against Alabama. Now, this speaks to what has been a problem for Texas A&M for quite some time. It doesn't win its home games, and Vegas apparently has recognized that because they're going to make them nearly a 2-touchdown underdog in Kyle Field. It's a loud stadium, but it is not a stadium that produces a lot in the way of wins for Texas A&M lately. LSU is a 4.5-point favorite at home versus Auburn. Now, this is one that maybe a little too much love, a little too much respect here for LSU. I thought Auburn was getting some love from Vegas and only being a 7-point underdog at Clemson, but LSU is no Clemson. 4.5-point favorite at home versus Auburn here seems to be a bit much. Now, the last time that Auburn won the SEC was in 2013. They actually lost a pretty bad, you know, kind of convincing way at LSU that season, but I don't think this LSU team is like that LSU team. I don't see that quite being the same thing. Kentucky is a pick'em versus Tennessee. That's a home game for the Wildcats. Kind of an interesting statement about Kentucky there. Mississippi State is a 4-point favorite at home versus Ole Miss to close out the season. Florida, a 5-point underdog at home versus Florida State to close out the season. Auburn will host Alabama, will do so as a 3.5-point underdog. Kind of an interesting statement there. If you want to go back to the same time a year ago, now it was a very different Auburn team playing at Alabama. But when the South Point released its games of the year a year ago, Alabama was something in the neighborhood of like a 17-point favorite over Auburn. So just in a year's time, the perception of Auburn, at least nationally, according to Las Vegas, has changed a good bit here. All of a sudden, Auburn, nowhere near as big of an underdog anymore, just 3.5 for its home game versus Alabama. LSU 12-point favorite versus Texas A&M, and the final one I'll give you here, according to the South Point, is a Tennessee as an 8.5-point favorite versus Vanderbilt to close out the regular season. So, kind of an interesting early look at how the season might play itself out. We'll make that your SEC through. All right, as we wrap up the show here today, I want to send out congratulations to another former UGA golfer on the PGA Tour, a winner over the weekend, Kevin Kisner in the Dean and DeLuca golf tournament down there in Texas. So another nice moment. I want to say I saw this on the Golf Channel. This is the fourth former UGA player to win on tour this year. Obviously, former UGA players dominate on the PGA Tour, and you know Kisner just in that group as much as anybody else. So nice to see former UGA guys having success on the PGA Tour. Obviously, congratulations go out to Kevin Kisner. One more thing I want to mention as we get ready to close out the show, a fun conversation coming up on Dog Nation Daily tomorrow. Now, if you did not like what Athlon Sports had to say about Georgia quarterback Jacob Eason, I think you might like to hear what a couple of these publications have said about Georgia's defense and how it could be really good at least in one key area in 2017. We'll do some of that tomorrow on Dog Nation Daily. Hope you'll join us and hope you have a great day today.